You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The conflict in South Sudan that seems to be devolving into a civil war continues unabated, and now 180,000 displaced people from the fighting constitutes the newest humanitarian crisis in the newest nation on earth. While two different political leaders battle over ethnic and territorial rivalry, President Salva Kiir and his former Vice President Riek Machar, children, thousands of them, are caught in the crossfire. NGOs such as Save the Children are trying to construct a safety net for children to escape the conflict and then make their way back to their families, a much more difficult challenge. Fiona McSheehy is Save the Children's director for South Sudan, joins us now from Juba. Welcome.
Thank you very much, John.
So explain to me precisely the problem of reuniting children with families. What are the circumstances in which children get separated from families? And I suspect it varies from battlefield, city to city, place to place.
Yes, one of the most difficult things we have is that quite often children don't really know where they've come from. So if they get displaced and they run away, sometimes they're not able to tell us where they've come from, and they're certainly not able to tell us where their parents are. So it's trying to get information from lots of different sources to enable us to help the process of reuniting children with their parents.
Is the fact that the children arrive with no identification, with no ability even to fix their home location, an indication of the chaos in certain areas in South Sudan?
That's certainly one of the issues, no identification. And very often they've witnessed some horrific things, some very violent scenes. Obviously, conflict is ongoing at the moment in several areas, and children have been exposed to that, and many children have been injured as a result of that as well. So it's very, very difficult to work out where to start sometimes.
How do the children know to make it to Juba and the UN compounds, or are they being brought in from units that are picking them up in chaotic places around the country?
It's both, to be honest. The initial influx into the UN compounds in Juba happened the 17th, 18th of December, and there was just a general mass of people who ran in those directions, and children got caught up with that mass of people on the move, but also separated at the same time from their parents. Other children have made it in from other states, either brought along with people who may or may not have been from their community. There are general movements of people at the moment in several areas, so children do find themselves relocated into areas that they're not normally in, which disorientates them even further.
So describe the changes that took place in the facilities that you were working at in the amount of time that you were there. This is a conflict that has really been unpredictable and has had enormous peaks and valleys of potential hope, with peacekeepers coming in and then more fighting and chaos.
I think for the people in Juba now, the displaced people in Juba and the children, we are coming to terms with the numbers. We have got processes set up to help identify them, to direct them to the right services, such as medical support and nutrition support. In other places, we haven't been able to do that. So in and around Bor, one of the hot spots at the moment, we haven't been able to send any staff there yet because the conflict is ongoing as we speak. And we can't obviously, risk the security and the safety of our staff. But as areas open up, we are putting teams on the ground. There's an area in Awiril, in one of the states, and I'm sending a team there tomorrow to start looking at what we need to be doing. There's a potential of 75,000 people there, and it's estimated at least 50% of those will be under the age of 18. So we clearly have a lot to do in that area.
This is a new nation, and I'm wondering if that complicates your efforts in the sense that the infrastructure might not be able to support the kinds of operations that NGOs typically mount. I'm wondering if there's been a welcoming of the NGOs in South Sudan, or if you're really tiptoeing around the sectarian problems that are threatening to break out in certain areas?
I think the NGOs in South Sudan at the moment are working extremely hard to make sure that we're collaborating with each other, we're coordinating with each other, and we're working very well together in order to provide the best support that we can to the affected populations that we have access to, and also planning to do the same in areas as they open up.
How can some of these children be reunited? Do you suspect there may be a permanent population of orphans who for years may have no idea where their parents are?
I think with any conflict, it's very difficult to say in the early stages quite how many children might have lost their parents or their carers. The other side of the coin, of course, is that there are parents and carers who have reported missing children. So to some extent, as long as we keep tracking both those streams of information, we are able to make the match. There are two different places in Juba, for instance. It might be that children are in one and their parents or carers are in another. There's no current movement between those two places, but we can help facilitate that information flow and make the matches where possible.
Have you had any firsthand experience in reuniting children with parents or experiencing some of the frustration of having no information?
I personally haven't. I have teams in both the places in Juba at the moment who are working very hard to try and reunite children and their parents or carers where possible. It is very difficult to do that at the moment just because of the volume of people that we're dealing with in Juba. And obviously that will be exaggerated in areas outside of Juba as we move forward.
But there are some hopeful stories, and I suspect those make your work easier.
There are some hopeful stories, yes, and that is what keeps us going at the moment, to be honest.
Fiona McSheehy is the country director for South Sudan for the Save the Children organization. Fiona, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, the brain training program designed by neuroscientists and used by 50 million people, created to improve memory and attention. More at Lumosity.com.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.